So I want to speak to you this morning about the hidden life. The hidden life, because there is a hidden life. So I don't know if you've noticed how public life has become. I mean, Facebook, waar's my seun, he can Twitter, you name it. Life has become very public. You know, and sometimes that public space of life, you know, it's not even that you are posting it. You're just there and someone else has posted something where you're in and your life is public. Our lives are, and you know, I think part of the challenge today is to try and keep your life a bit private. And if you have a private life, you know, or you're not all on Facebook and these things, people think that you are really weird. How can you not Facebook? Who's jy nie op Facebook nie? You know, like, what? How must I know what's going on in your life? You know, and it freaked me out, and this is probably about 2-3 years ago already, maybe even longer, where friends of ours were going through a tough time, and I had to find out about it via Facebook. I did not get a call to say, hey, Kobus, you know, my son's in hospital, please pray for us or nothing. You know, it was a post on Facebook, and those that read it, read it, and those that didn't, and I'm not big on the Facebook thing. If you want to be my friend, you know, it's like Christmas. If I post something, it's like, he posted something. Any case, but so much so, I mean, if I switch on my Facebook, and you just go through everything that people are posting, it is crazy what people post, and their lives are not private anymore. In actual fact, it's very nice to post stuff about yourself. My son, we had this chat this morning that, you know, he wants more data so he can be on more public stuff. And I'm going, what? Is he a sip? It's not happening. Okay, I still want to hide him. You know, I'm working on the labola amount so that when that woman comes, she needs to pay, man. All right, I'm raising him right off the grid. Any case. But in this life that we live, we all want to pursue and we want that something special in our lives. We look for the wonder, for the something that's different. You know, when we walk into a day, you know, whether it's by faith or just by who we are, we desire to see something just, you know, spectacular in our lives. You know, when a life is just boring, have you noticed when life becomes sort of monotonous and it's just like this monotone thing and it, you know, there's nothing happens? Most men at that stage decide it's time for a new car because something needs to happen. You know, something nice needs to happen now. And then they go and buy a new car, faster and flatter than the previous one. Okay? But in this quest of pursuing something that's different and that's nice and wonderful, many times a crisis hits. Stuff happens in our lives, and this thing now comes and it upsets everything. It's not the wonder that we wanted, but now we have this situation. The reality of my hand situation is on the 13th of December, unless God does a miracle, they're operating this one because my carpal tunnel is faulty. Can you imagine that? Coffee. I'm up for a challenge. And this is a trial that's coming my way. And if you know me, my hands are very precious to me. I do a lot with my hands. And I can tell you, to me, this is a personal struggle that I'm not a struggle, it's a challenge. It's this thing about, wow, God, am I gonna go through this? We had some interesting discussions over the challenges that's coming if that should happen, and how we're gonna get through them. But our life, then a trial comes and it upsets everything. But you see, most of us, when the trial comes, you sort of take that trial day by day, and you go through it with grace, and you know you're trusting God, and you're praying through it, and you're working through this thing, and by the time you get to the other side, you know it's awesome. The one thing that I've learned about a trial, which you would know as well, is the best thing about a trial is when you look back and you can see the hand of God that He's moved on our lives and He's done something amazing. So it is one thing for us to go through a trial and go through it with grace and all these things. But it is a completely different thing to live every day glorifying God. You see, because just what I mentioned in terms of when life becomes sort of this monotonous thing and there's nothing seriously happened, you know, in that moment when we're living day to day, it becomes a challenge to glorify God in everything that we do. Sometimes we actually even forget about Him. And it's especially hard when there's no one that are witnessing what we are doing. There's no limelight. There's not even the remotest sense of attention from anybody that you are living this life for God. It's just like, this is just who you are. It becomes this thing that you're just walking through. And I'll get to the scripture that I want to read now. You see, it's not that when in that moment when we do these things that we are looking for halos or recognition. It's not that we're seeking that, but you know, it's so much nicer when that happens. You know, for all the palms in the, you know about the palms and the rosa and all that stuff. But for the palms among us, it is really nice when someone says you're doing well. You know, it's jy doen baie goed. Because we are public people and we enjoy that when people recognize what we've done. But it's not like we seek it, but it's nice if people do that. But you see, if we are really devoted to Christ, if we are really pursuing God in the way that we should, people shouldn't actually even notice us. They should not see us. But what they should see is the power of God being released through your and my life. They should see Christ being displayed in great measures. Now, I can tell you this much. That is easy living it moment by moment, having that moment where God does something. But doing that continuously every day is a different ballgame and looks different. You know, it's when you display the glory of God in that hectic situation, when you display the glory of God and the wisdom of God when it's required in a situation. You know, so many things that happen in life that you are just part of, but if you are not connected with God, that we miss the opportunity for God to just in that moment minister through us. Now, I want to read the scripture to you. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, Paul writes this, and I know he writes this in the context of, you know, when people offer different things to idols and so on, and you know, you're sitting there and you're eating this stuff, and someone comes to you and goes, hey, that's been offered to an idol. Then he says, don't eat it for the sake of conscience. But not your conscience, that person's conscience. So in other words, don't do something that is going to cause that person to follow. So that's the context in which he writes this. But I love what he is saying here. So he says this in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31. He says, so whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, you and I know that eating, drinking is a very basic thing of life. I mean, we are South African. Ons kan eat. And the bigger the steak, the better. Ek weet nie of van julle drink nou nog bier nie, maar ja, okay, never mind. The bigger the beer, the better. In any case, I don't know. But eating and drinking in our lives is one of the most basic things that we do. And without it, our life cannot be sustained. I understand, you know, you can go without food, that you can go without drink, but eventually you'll die. So we need to eat and drink. And what he's writing here is saying, listen, whether you are eating or drinking, that's the most basic thing that you can do. But whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. So if we need to glorify God in the most basic thing of our lives, so much more in the greater things. You see, but most of us will be quick to say, I've got this call or that call. You know, God has anointed me to do this or that. The fact is, Yes, we need to glorify God in the stuff that He has called us to. We need to walk in that and be faithful to serving in everything. But that is not the only place in which we need to glorify God. And what He's saying in the scripture is that I want you to glorify God in whatever you do. In the music that you listen, the places that you hang out, the way that you look after your car or your wife and your kids. And you know, in whatever we do, we need to glorify God. So immediately what Paul does here is that, yes, God has this mission. God is doing these awesome things. But it's not just that we serve Him in the great things. It's that we serve Him in the things that look like they're nothing. Because that's where the difference is. The fact is that doing even the most menial, the smallest little task in our lives requires the hand of God working in us. You see, because you and I can do the most menial little thing in this life, and if we don't do it by the Spirit of God, if we don't do it by the grace of God, then we will do it unto ourselves. And then it looks different. Then there's someone else who receives glory and not God. And you and I need the Spirit of God, the hand of God in our lives to do that. To be utterly unnoticeable requires God's Spirit in us, making us absolutely humanly His. You see, when we get born again, we understand that we are transformed. Our spirits are reborn. We are a spiritual being. The fact is that we are living this life here right now as humans. You are walking this life as a spirit man living in this body. So where should we make the difference? Through the Spirit in the body daily. In everything that we do. In Romans 14, verse 17 to 19, He writes this, and he takes on a similar situation, speaking about eating, you know, what people are eating and so on, and taking offense. You know, obviously the religious side of that life, where they were, was very prevalent. So he's taking us, he says, for God's kingdom is not a matter of eating and drinking. Okay? It's not about the eating, but it's of righteousness, peace, and joy which the Holy Spirit gives. So it's not about necessarily what you do, but it's about the righteousness, the peace, and the joy that the Holy Spirit brings. Now read this, the following. And when you serve Christ in this way, you please God and are approved by others. In other words, even if I do the eating and drinking, it's not about that. But if I do that through the Spirit of God, then what does he say? You please God and are approved by others. So it immediately has an outward effect to those around us. So then, we must always aim. Now, if you aim, those of you that are hunters around us, or between us, you know that you aim, you need to aim right. Okay? So we must always aim at those things that bring peace and that help strengthen one another. Now, it's interesting, he says, you must sometimes aim. He says you must always aim to whatever you do, let it strengthen one another. Let it strengthen those around you. Let it be something that builds up. So even in your quest, it doesn't matter what you're doing, let it be to the strengthening of others. Now, you know, in a marriage situation, and I've had a few interesting discussions over the past couple of weeks about, you know, people wanting to pursue someone from the other gender. And it's always amazing how they expect this person to be like, I don't know, mixed between all the perfect people. And when they married him, it's just going to be fine. And I went, you know, it's just like when you marry someone, I mean, I loved Laurette when we engage that process. But I can tell you now that knowing her now looks different than when I got to know her 24 years ago. It looks different. And it's been this absolute process of getting to know her through just living with her. And now I've completely lost my point. Why I said Hallo. Any case. Ek sal gou iets drink. I don't know why I said that. Please forgive me. I had a good point. And then I lost the point. So stricken that from the record. But I think in our relationships and as we build together, we need to pursue one thing, and that is we need to pursue Christ. Now, Oswald Chambers writes this. You can put that, yeah. The true test of a saint's life is not successfulness, but faithfulness on a human level of life. So we all have different ideas of success and what it means to pursue success and all this. And it says that we need to be faithful on a human level. There's a saying that went around years ago that you mustn't be so heavenly minded that you are on earthly no good. You mustn't so walk in the spirit that on this earth you mean nothing. And that's what he's saying here, is that your life needs to have a human impact. And he continues to saying this. He says, we tend to set up success in Christian work as our purpose. But our purpose should be to display the glory of God in human life, to live life hidden with Christ in God in your everyday human conditions. Powerful thing that he says here. You see, because as Christians, the longer we're Christians, the more we think that serving God is in this environment where we make the church a success and we serve and we do all these things, but that's not it. Yes, it's part of it, but that is not all. You see, because if we do not take this life that we have received and we take it to the humans out there, it is of little value. You see, Christ did not come to die just, you know, because it was nice. But his agenda was to impact humanity globally and over the generations. If we think about it, my life, the day when I push up my first daisy, what is going to be the impact of my life on humanity? Have I allowed God to fully use me to glorify him in everything that I did? And I just think Robert, was Robert? And even the offering message so speaks into this, that in whatever we do, we need to glorify God. And what is going to stay behind the day when you and I leave this earth? So he says that we need to live a life that is hidden with Christ in God. Now, you would know as children, and even now, if you're looking for something and you can't find it, it's very irritating. And in a sense, that's where my life should be. It should be so hidden in Christ that I cannot find it. That even when I look for it, that all I find is Christ. It must be hidden in there, securely built in there, so that even when people look at your and my life, that what the one thing that they do see is Christ, him being glorified. Our human relationships are the very conditions in which the ideal life of God should be exhibited. Think of that. It's a powerful statement. Our human relationships, those that you are between the people that's around you, are the very conditions in which the ideal life of God should be exhibited. So I want to say to you, don't look for something else. I'm not sure what's going on with this mic now. But don't look for something else. Because where you are, the very conditions in which you find yourselves are the very conditions in which God wants to display his glory through you. As humans and as the world becomes smaller, we just want to leave. We want to go places. We want to just change our situation. We want to get out. And that is not what God is saying here. It's like, I've called you, I've set you apart for where you are right now so that you can glorify God where you are. And that's the very conditions in which you find yourselves which needs to be a blessing to Him. Or where you can be a blessing to Him. We are to glorify God in the most basic and mundane. And this is me concluding now. We need to make sure that we glorify God in the basic things. Not just the big things. Unfortunately, you know, when something, and that's why I said what I said when we started, is when we walk this life, the bigger and more expansive it is, the more people see it, the more blessed we are. But it's when we do the nothing stuff, where people don't see it, that's where it really becomes hard to live that daily in our lives and consistently pursuing God in the mundane and the seemingly stupid things. And that's where we need to live. You see, because I understand this, when we are faithful with a little, this is what God says, when you are faithful with a little, the stupid things, I will make you ruler over much. And God never will leave you there. And it's, can I just tell you this? The longer I walk this life in Christ, the more I understand, you know, to our culture, being the pastor is like the ultimate thing. I don't know why, but you know, there's a big perception. To me, standing where I'm now, I'm thinking there's so much greater that I need to get into. I'm busy with mundane things. That's how it feels like to me. I'm trying to serve God even in this place where I find myself as if it's a mundane thing, because there's so much greater in God. There's so much things that are still locked up there that I still need to pursue, and I still need Him to work in my life to do even greater stuff. You know, but I've started in cleaning the toilets for 20 years. Okay, I didn't clean them, I fixed them. For 20 years I was a plumber, desiring to be a pastor. But He left me there for 20 years. I still do not understand why. Well, I do. He shaped a few things. He made me into this person that I'm here today. Our success in life is to be so hidden in Christ that all they see is Him. And I guess the question is, and this question I ask to myself, is will I live a life hidden in Christ? This life that is hidden in Christ. Will I live this life? Am I willing to lay down everything so that the only one thing that happens is that they see Christ? So will you live a life that will glorify God in whatever you do? Whatever you do. Colossians 3 verse 3 is the scripture that he actually quoted there, which says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And he's reminding them here. He's saying, but listen, you have died. So this morning I want to come to you and I want to say to you, if you have given your life to Christ, can I remind you that you have died? You are dead. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Do you understand the potential of that greatness that God is right there? That His glory and everything that is he has in store, if your life is hidden in how great that glory is and what He wants to do in your life and through your life. And it's when we truly die to ourselves. And many of you know you've walked this road for so long, but I really believe that the Holy Spirit, if I listen, like I said, to the message that Robert brought in the offering even, and even the worship, is that God wants to bring us back to this place of, listen, you are hidden in Christ. You have died. Now serve me in whatever you do and let it bring glory to me. That is God's desire. That is what God wants for each one of us. Is, you know, He made you. He formed you. He's put you together. He knows the very purposes that He's created you. And you have come back to Christ and He's saying, listen, come, let me show you. Come walk with me. Come hide in me And I'll show you why I've created you. Allow me to daily minister through you in the mundane tasks that you do at work and in the house and everything, even when you go on holiday. Let me minister through you in every one of those little things. So I think this morning, the challenge that I want to leave you with, and I believe the Spirit of God wants to leave with you, is what is going on in your life currently? Where are you at? Are you faithful in serving God in whatever you do? Whether you are eating or drinking, or whatever you do, are you serving God to the full? Are you living this life that is hidden in Christ? And if you do, I want to say awesome. But if you are not there this morning, then what I want us to do is I want to ask us to have a moment where we can just come before God. And I know that Ross enjoys to do this, is where you turn to one another and we just minister to one another and we say, God, what is there in my life? The thing that is not currently brought under your authority that I need to bring in there. Where do I need to change focus? Where do I need to do things differently so that in whatever I do, it will bring glory to God? And that is not a question that I can answer to you, but I would believe that the Holy Spirit would have stirred something in your heart this morning to say, how are you serving me in this thing? Where is this in your priority list? Is it under my authority? Where is it now? So can we maybe just put on some music, and then if we can turn to one another, and can we just pray for one another and say, God, if you need to repent, repent. If you need to rejoice, rejoice, and say, God, listen, this is so awesome. My whole life is submitted. But can we just pray that through quickly, and then I'll just close for us with prayer. Ek wil net gou Lana moet share wat sy gesien het.
Voordat ons gehoorship het ek 'n visie gekry van die gemeentelede, almal wat hierso sit op die stoele, maar almal sit in 'n eier, 'n volledige eier, dop, jouk, alles. En ek sien net hoe die reën val en die reën kan nie deur die dop penetrate nie. En volgende oomblik sien ek net hoe haal begin val en die haal crack hierdie doppe en breek die jouk en spoel alles af en van ons af as gemeentelede. En is asof die teenwoordigheid van die Here en sy living water actually ons kan bereik. En ek voel net regtig, Here sê, soos ons is so self-sufficient. We're reliant on our own achievements and our own successes and we focus so much on what the world sees as success and we're building up these yokes that sustain us that we kind of don't realize that God's living water is not what we're relying on. And God's going to come break that, and he wants to come and break that away, and he wants to come and wash that away. And yeah, I just feel we need to surrender all of that to him and just, yeah, allow him to do that.
In preparation for Sunday, I also just had a word in Psalm 40. David speaks about God saving him from the pit of destruction. And then in verse 6, it continues and it says, but sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but my ears you have pierced, is what it says. And and I was thinking about this. And no, God doesn't delight just in our sacrifices. He doesn't just want us to come and make adjustments in our lives. And I thought, what does it mean for ears to be pierced? And I read about in those times, slavery was something that was it often happened. It was common cause of the day, and when a slave was set free, he had a choice whether he wanted to return to his master. And what would happen if his master treated him well? He would go and have his ear pierced, and he would actually be tied to the door of his master's house, and he would stand there for everyone to see that he chose to give up his freedom to serve this master. And then he would become a bond servant of that person. And it's just that picture. Jesus doesn't want us just to make adjustments in our lives. He wants us to belong to him. He wants us to be his bond servants. And the crazy thing about that was those slaves, their masters could even kill them if that was what they desired to do after that. So he basically gave his life away to someone else. And David said, sacrifices and offerings You did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. And I just believe God is asking us, but his desire for us is to, he wants to own us. He wants us to belong to him, not just parts of our lives or adjustments, but everything that we have and who we are.
Can we stand? Then we close with prayer. I think what I, with the egg, what she said, you know, when God walks into our lives, and she was, as she was sharing it, when that eggshell breaks and everything changes, that might be quite scary to you. And when God comes into our lives sometimes and he removes stuff which removes our dependency from him, on him, that leaves us in a place where sometimes we feel vulnerable and it's scary. And, you know, in that moment we want to fiddle around and try to put the egg back together. And that's not what I believe God wants to do in our lives this morning. I believe you need him to break those things that rob your dependency from him. Let him take it away and allow him to draw you closer and allow your dependency to fully be on him and him alone. So, Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you've ministered to our hearts, Father. And as we go from here, Father, I pray that we will be doers of the word, and we just want to, Holy Spirit, allow you to do whatever you want to do in our hearts, Lord God, that in whatever we do, we will serve you. We will bring glory to you, Father God. That, Father, our lives will be truly hidden with Christ in God, that all that those around us will be able to see is Jesus. And may the wonder and the glory and the splendor of your name be so upon our lives, Father, that it will draw many to you and that many will receive salvation, that you will stir hunger and thirsting in them through what you have done in our lives, Father. So, Father, as we conclude this service, I thank you that you go with us, that you go before us, and that your name will be made great in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.